Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, got a text about the state of the front office and what will happen if they start trading all their players off. We'll talk about that, plus news and notes, calls and texts. It's all coming up on Thursday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, January 26, 2023.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team just every win. Day.
Just win.
You're to win as a Raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won. And won. And won.
And welcome in Raider Nation to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider podcast free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube. Lots of folks finding the show on YouTube, and I definitely appreciate that. Appreciate my man Ari, who's making sure we're up on YouTube each and every day. Looking good, sounding good, looking the part, and sounding the part, right? Doing a fantastic job at Ari Produces on Twitter each and every day. You can check him out. And of course, like I said, check out the show on YouTube. Today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 6 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on your entry. First time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Let's go ahead and jump into today's show. Got a lot to get to in a little bit amount of time. And right here in segment number one, I'd like to hit you with the news and notes of the day. And actually got a text from a guy who covers the Packers. And he said, because he knows this has been a hot topic, said Packers told Rodgers where they stand. If he wants to come back, some of his guys are going to have to walk. Rodgers doesn't like it, but doesn't mean he wants out yet. And if he's traded, it won't be to a rival. Rodgers doesn't want to go to those places. So that kind of goes back to the report that we heard from Adam Schefter that, you know, they could do some things with the money. They can make some trades possible. You know, they're not going to trade him to an NFC team. And also, he's talked about it on the Pat McAfee show, talking about different guys he'd like to see return. Had a laundry list of teammates that he really likes, like a Randall Cobb and many others. And just because of the way that the Packers and their situation is with the money, doesn't look like they're any kind of position to bring all those guys back, and doesn't sound like they're really interested in bringing all those guys back. And you know, the funny thing is, going back and thinking about Aaron Rodgers in this season, I can't remember exactly what week it was, but there was a game where he left based off an injury, and it was a Sunday night football game. And I remember, if you go back, and I can't, like I said, I hate that I can't remember exactly what episode it was, but I remember talking about it on that Monday, and I said, I feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to be done this year, because Jordan Love went into that game, that Sunday night football game, and played pretty well. And that was what happened to Brett Favre many years ago, right? He left a Sunday night football game because of injury. Aaron Rodgers came in, played well. The next season, Brett Favre was gone. And it was around the same age, around 39. And so I feel like, you know, history is kind of repeating itself when it comes to the Green Bay Packers and now Aaron Rodgers. Not saying that he's going to be a Raider. I think that there's a chance that he could be a Raider. I said it on Wednesday's show. I do think that the teams that are really in play for him are the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Raiders. I think all three of those teams make a lot of sense. The Jets have a really good team. They're a quarterback away. The Dolphins, you have no idea what's going on with Tua. And the Raiders, we already know. You know, they got Devontae Adams, obviously have different weapons, need a quarterback with Derek Carr on his way out the door. So it makes a lot of sense. So just kind of you know, just a follow-up to what Adam Schefter was saying. Just wanted to go ahead and update you on what was going on with all things Aaron Rodgers, as, of course, you know, the saga continues. Who's going to be the quarterback for the Silver and Black in 2023? Also, as far as the Raiders are concerned, on Wednesday, they signed a wide receiver to a reserve future deal. They tweeted out and sent out the email that they signed wide receiver Tyler Johnson to a reserve future contract. Johnson was originally selected by the Buccaneers in the 5th round of the 2020 NFL draft, spent 2 seasons with the team before being acquired by off of waivers by the Houston Texans in 2022. He's 6'1", 205 pounds, has played in 33 career games with 6 starts, 48 total catches, 529 yards, and 2 TDs. Also played in 6 postseason games with 1 start, catches 7 passes for 76 yards. You're going to see a lot of those. I just let you know exactly who it was and kind of gave you the details on them. You're going to see a lot of these. It's the offseason. That's what they do. They make the reserve future signings. These are guys that are going to go to camp. They'll have an opportunity to compete. I saw a lot of people already kind of connecting the dots. Oh, he's coming from Tampa Bay. That must mean that Tom Brady's coming. That doesn't mean any of that. That means that they're getting somebody on the roster. They're getting them on contract right now that potentially they can see something from later on down the line. Most likely what he's going to do is be a guy that's going to hold a spot until they find someone else to take that spot. Or if not, if he actually sticks around, maybe he'll go to camp. And when it's all said and done, then he'll probably end up getting released. But that's what's going to happen. You'll see a lot of reserve future signings, not just with the Raiders, but all the teams across the NFL as the offseason really gets ramped up. You're seeing teams get rid of guys, release them, let them go, and you're seeing guys be signed on these reserve future deals. So that's what the Raiders did on Wednesday. Also, and this is the final thing I got for you in segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Found this to be pretty interesting. The AP put out their offensive player of the year finalists, their defensive player of the year finalists, their rookies. I mean, they were going through all of it. You know, just like we were talking about the Pro Football Writers of America, we've talked about a bunch of different teams, you know, all pro teams that have been out there, and the Raiders have been, you know, the recipients of you know, being on a lot of these teams, even though they weren't a very successful team, only had six wins all season long. But AP put out their offensive player of the year finalists: Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts, Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, and Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill. And the results will be announced on February 9th at the NFL Honors. That's the week of the Super Bowl. So that's going to be going on in Arizona. But I bring it up because I found it to be pretty interesting that Max Crosby tweeted out, "How is Josh Jacobs or Devontae Adams not finalists for Offensive Player of the Year?" That was Max Crosby on Twitter, and Josh Jacobs just simply replied, "We got to win." And then he shrugged his shoulders with the emoji. Not saying stats don't matter. It's an individual award, but I understand. Again, that's Josh Jacobs on Twitter. And then Max responded, "Facts, but what you did ain't normal, regardless of record." And he's 100% right that what Josh Jacobs did wasn't normal. I mean, going over 1,600 yards, having the phenomenal season that he had. But ultimately, Josh is right. It's about wins. It's about losses. And the Raiders didn't have enough wins. They had way too many losses. So if they had been a team that was playing this upcoming weekend, if they had been San Francisco, they would have had way more players represented on all these lists that we've been talking about and all these all-pro teams or Pro Football Writers of America teams. They would have had a lot more, but they just didn't get it done on the field as far as W's and L's. So, you know, I said it the other day, I'm seeing Josh Jacobs on all these different, you know, all pro teams, and he's the second running back. And I keep saying, how in the hell can he be the second running back when he was the league's leading rusher? But again, they lean on the fact about wins and losses as well. So I thought that that was pretty cool. And then that kind of was reflected here on AP Defensive Player of the Year finalists: Nick Bosa of the 49ers, Cowboys linebacker Micah Parsons, and Chiefs defensive tackle Chris Jones. Two out of three of those guys are going to be playing this weekend. One guy just got eliminated in Micah Parsons. So again, Max Crosby, even though he had a phenomenal season, he's not a Defensive Player of the Year finalist because, again, the Raiders did not win enough. Max Crosby at some point, I mean, stay healthy and continue to play. And, of course, no one could ever project that. I absolutely feel like at some point he'll win Defensive Player of the Year. I just feel like he's driven like that where he can do it. Right, I'm not saying that he's going to be a Hall of Famer or anything like, because I know that's something that he wants to do, but I just think at some point he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year and get that respect that he wants. But again, it's going to be up to his team to go out there and win games, and it really would be good if his defense could actually help him up and step up and not just be him, so other teams could just focus in on Max Crosby. So no Raiders representation on the AP, you know, player of the year as far as defense goes, offense goes, none of that. And again, when you have six wins, you're not really going to get that. So that's all I got for you for segment number one. Today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, what the front office needs to do this offseason. I got a really good text that I want to read. I want to respond to it. And again, it all kind of ties in. So we'll get to that after I tell you about our latest sponsor, our really good sponsor that we're very excited about here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And that is FanDuel, the newest and best sports betting partner for us, right, is FanDuel, the number one sports book in America. If you're new to FanDuel, it's even better. They have so many great features that makes betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, join today to get started with $150 in free bets, and that's guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from money line to point spread to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Raider fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Really want to talk about what the front office needs to do this offseason, how much pressure I really believe that they're under this offseason to get it right. I mean, you can't be a 6-11 team and then think that you're going to have another 6-11 season. I mean, they've really got to figure out a way to get things turned around quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I know some don't believe that. Some think that, you know, Josh McDaniels and company have the support of Mark Davis so they can build it and kind of slow play it as they want to. Look, Josh McDaniels, Dave Ziegler and company, that's not John Gruden. You're right. John Gruden, he had the 100% backing of Mark Davis. John Gruden was able to tear the things down to the nuts and bolts and just tell Mark Davis, hey, the team wasn't very good. I'm going to build it in my vision, and it's going to be all good by the time I'm said and done. And we all know how that shook out. He never got to complete the project. Look, Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, they might end up being real good, but they're not John Gruden. They don't have Mark Davis's ear just like that. So it's funny. I was thinking about talking about this, and then I got a text on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line text line. From Raider Deal. And of course, that number is 707-654-4693. He says, sup, Q? I know it's just talk right now, but if Waller and Renfro get shipped out this offseason, this regime is on the super hot seat. We better, at a minimum, in all capitals, make the playoffs. If the Raiders crap the bed next season after parting ways with their high-end talent and McDaniels gets fired, we just traded that all away for nothing. I spent too much time watching the A's trade guys away, and I don't want to be in that place with the Raiders, too. I get scared money don't make money, but stupid plans don't either. Just my opinion, they better have a badass plan in place if this is the direction they want to go. Again, that's from Raider Deal, and I wanted to really put that text to the side because I thought it meant a lot, and I like what he said about the A's and them trading guys away. And look, this is the direction that the Raiders are trying to go. And just because the reports of Waller and Renfro, you know, teams are looking at them, doesn't mean that they're going to be gone. It really doesn't. Now, I could see a case where Waller could be traded just because his availability hasn't been great, right? But when he's out there, he's been good. So if he can get healthy this offseason, if he can get if Josh McDaniels could get a commitment from him, like they believe that he'll be there for the long haul, great. Hunter Renfro, I do have questions about Renfro if he's going to be around for the long haul. Just didn't seem like he really clicked in Josh McDaniels' system. But they did sign him to a contract extension. So it's kind of like you look at it and say, well, why would they sign these guys and then be ready to move on from them? Well, they had a theory in mind that they wanted to do. So I say all that to say, this season is so much pressure, right? I mean, first of all, they had the stones to sit down the quarterback and then decide that they're going to move on from him. Right. They could have just said, hey, we're going to stick with this guy. He's safe. Right. He's the guy that's been here for a long time. You know what you got in him. But they decided that they want to go in another direction. So, first of all, that is massive, because if they don't get it right, and I mean get it right, not just this year, not just next year, but the long term, then all of a sudden you're putting yourself back at square one. Right. And of course, Josh McDaniels is still trying to erase that stink from when he was the head coach in Denver and he got rid of the quarterback in Jay Cutler and went out and got Tim Tebow. And we all know how that worked out. I know they went to the playoffs. I know they won a playoff game, but that wasn't ideal. Right. And people in Denver still talk about what Josh McDaniels did there and all that situation. So he's trying to erase that. Dave Ziegler is a first time GM. So this is a ton of pressure to get things the way that it's supposed to be to make this team a winner. You have Davante Adams. You have Josh Jacobs. I'm assuming that they're going to re-sign him, find a way to re-sign him. You've got to get it done. You have Max Crosby in his prime. You just signed him to another contract extension. You've got pieces in place. You don't have enough pieces in place, but you have pieces in place to build something. This offseason, they have got to get it right in the draft. You just can't go and fill all your holes by way of free agency. You can't trade for everybody. You've got to hit in the draft. They've got to come out of this draft. If they have 11, draft picks in this draft, they need to come away with at least 3 starters and at least 5 to 6 guys that they feel comfortable with in a pinch. They could throw them in the game and feel good, right? They've got to build up that cupboard with talent. And it's not going to be just a one-year thing. It's not like they're going to be able to just go in the draft, hit on a bunch of picks, and all of a sudden the team's going to be fixed. Because the thing is, you want to build this thing for success and sustainability for the long haul. So how do you do that? Draft after draft after draft. Every draft, you come out of there with like 3 starters, three guys you feel comfortable starting, and maybe 5 guys, depending on how many picks you have, 5 guys that you feel comfortable putting on the field immediately. That's how you build the cupboard. That's how you look at teams across the league that are really good, and you'll see them let a guy walk. And we'll sit here on the podcast or we'll sit here on the radio and say, oh, I can't believe they're letting that guy walk. And then all of a sudden you realize, well, they did that because they have another guy. Like, for example, the Patriots. I know people don't like to talk about the Patriots. Think about how many years ago they traded Chandler Jones to the Cardinals. Remember, he was about to get a contract extension or wanted to get a contract extension in New England, and they're like, yeah, no thanks. And they just traded him. And I remember working with a Patriot fan. And he said, I can't believe they did that. That was their best pass rusher. And he went to Arizona for many years and was super successful. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. But they traded him years in advance, not just 1 year ahead of time, years in advance. But they were comfortable because they had a talented dude behind him. Right? Remember when the Raiders got Richard Seymour? That was probably, what, 2 years? 2 years before he was going to be crapped out, and they didn't want to pay that money. And they ended up turning him, flipping him around for a first-round pick from the Raiders. Right? I mean, real good teams are able to do that. Right now, you have a lot of Raider fans that are looking at some of the guys that have left the organization or some of the guys that are going to potentially leave the organization this offseason and are upset about it because they think that that's the best player out there. Like a Denzel Perryman. If he doesn't return, I know he's got a lot of spirit. I know he brings a lot of energy to the defense. If he doesn't return, that's not the worst thing ever as long as they have someone that can fill that void, right? I mean, you've got to be able to let guys walk, especially guys that aren't available. He played 12 games last year. So if they end up bringing him back, he better not be the guy that they rely on. You've got to have dudes that you feel very comfortable with being your full-fledged starter. So that obviously needs to be an upgrade, right? Chandler Jones, I don't know how he's going to be better than he was this year. I mean, he's only getting older, right? So I don't know how he's all of a sudden going to find the fountain of youth and go and get double-digit sacks. I don't know. But they've got to continue to get guys where they don't have to go and overspend in free agency to bring a guy in to fill a void, to be a bookend from Max. No, you go get that edge rusher. Go get a guy in the middle of the defensive line. Now, I get it. This offseason, there's going to be some guys that are going to be signed for. There may be a couple guys that they end up trading for. Who knows? But once you establish it, you've got to be able to have talent behind talent behind talent. And that's going to take a few drafts. But you've got to see, as far as I'm concerned, you've got to see the blueprint this offseason. If we get to the time when it's time to, open up training camp and you're looking at the roster saying, yeah, they've got some top-end talent, but behind that, not too much. If a guy goes down, what do they have? If we're still talking about the questions on the offensive line, that's a problem. If you're still talking about where's the pressure going to come from outside of Max, that's a problem. If you're still talking about the corners are suspect, that's a problem, right? If you're still saying that, well, I hope Trayvon Merritt can develop, that's going to be a problem. They've got to go ahead and find talent. They've got to hopefully go into the draft, get some guys where we can come back to the podcast and say, oh, yeah, that guy was projected to be a second-round pick. The Raiders got it. Cool. That was a good pick, right? Not just saying just because the experts say it that that's right, but how many times over the past years, on top of years, have we talked about draft picks? It's like, I didn't see that going in the first round. I didn't see that as a second-round guy. Well, nobody thought that he was a second-round guy or a first-round guy, like a Damon Arnett, like an Alex Leatherwood. Right. I mean, and it goes on and on. It's not just those guys. Right. Obi Melanfonwu. Hell, Gerrion Conley. Remember all the hot water he was in when they drafted him in the first round? And that was Reggie McKenzie. It's like, what are you doing? Right. I mean, Cleve Ferrell. Nice guy. Hard worker. Not number four overall pick. Jonathan Abram. Another guy. Nice guy. He had a nice attitude as far as, he brought a little edge to the table, but just wasn't worth where they drafted him. And a lot would say Josh Jacobs wasn't either, even though he ended up working out. But a lot of people would say, yeah, you don't draft a running back that high. So they've got to make smart decisions based off where they're picking, where they're, where they're bringing these guys in. And if they go and get free agent dudes, they can't go and dip into the 30 plus well. They've got to get a young cat, like a Deron Payne, who's still young. Or, we had the conversation, we had the call talking about trade for Alex Highsmith. He's still a young dude. If you're going to make a move like that, go get a guy like that, someone who's young, who you could build around and you could feel comfortable with. Not a guy like a Chandler Jones. No disrespect. I know he did a lot of good things. That's what everybody said, right? He did a lot of good things in practice. He was a leader. He did a lot of the hard work so Max Crosby can get the shine. I don't doubt that, but you also have to have a guy that can get production done. Philadelphia is playing this week. They had four dudes with double-digit sacks. That's not normal, so I'm not asking for that. That's not normal. 70 sacks is an NFL record. That's what they had. I'm not asking for that either, but I'm also asking for someone to assist Max Crosby. Get close to double-digit sacks. If he's going to get 12 sacks, give me 10. Somebody give me 10, right? Give me 10 from the middle. Give me 7 from the middle and 8 from the other edge. Something, right? Step up to the plate and help out. Be an assist guy. Be a big three, whatever the case may be. Just help out so everyone can't focus in on Max Crosby. So this offseason, what this regime's number one job is refilling the cupboard with talent and so to the point where you can see, all right, this guy, they got some pretty good depth at this position. They got some pretty good depth at that position. It all starts in the draft. If you start relying on free agency to build your team, unless you're that one player away, you're going to fail every day of the week and twice on Sunday. That's all I got for you for segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Raider Dill, thanks for that text, man. I do appreciate you. Coming up in segment number three, matter of fact, we'll get to more calls and texts, 707-654-4693. Before we get to that, though, I do want to tell you about the title sponsor of the show, which is Prize Picks. And Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. So how does it work? Well, simple. You pick 2 to 6 players. If they score more or less in their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. NFL, NBA, NHL, PGA, college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, everything. They've got it covered. Even esports. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals. Currently operational in over 30 states and in Canada. Right now, all you got to do is download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. You deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. You deposit $50, you got it. Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget, use the promo code Locked On to sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Raider Matt in Orange County, he's calling to talk about a report about Raiders aggressively exploring options with players on the roster, and he's talking about how he feels about it. Here he is, Raider Matt in Orange County.
What's up, Q? This is Raider Matt calling from Orange County, a.k.a. Raider Matt 1990 on Twitter. Just scrolling through Twitter, saw the... you and a handful of other people posting this this tweet saying that the Raiders are expected to aggressively tweak the roster. And, man, I got to do a quick rant because I swear if we are in a rebuild here without these guys telling us this is a rebuild, I'm going to lose my mind, man. Just making the playoffs in 2021 and having the year we did in 2022, but the top-end talent we have is pretty darn good. I mean, you got Devontae, you got Max, you got two of the best kickers in the game with A.J. Cole and Daniel Carlson. We got Waller, we got Renfro. We got some pretty good guys. But the roster itself obviously needs some tweaking, but this aggressive tweaking makes me think that we're going to shop around some of our big-name signings. Obviously, don't know what we're going to do with Devontae. He obviously wants and needs a quarterback that he trusts to throw him the ball. Are we going to get that this offseason? Are we going to go rookie? I really hope we don't go on a full-on rebuild, but, man, like, if this article is true and this murmuring is true, I'm smelling a kind of a rebuild that's going to be happening, and we're going to have to deal with another 1-2 years before they get their guys and build out the roster they want. And, shoot, man. It's a long time coming for us to get some wins and change the organization around and become that kind of playoff caliber team. I felt like we were so close, and this to me feels like we're going to have to take a step backwards to fill the roster in there. And shoot, I don't know if I can handle it, man. Obviously, I'm ride or die Raider Nation for life, but another couple of years, whew, not going to be fun watching that, but. End of rank, you. Appreciate you, man. Raider Matt out.
Thank you so much for the call, my man. And honestly, I don't feel like it's a rebuild. You know, I do realize that the Raiders aren't or weren't as good as their 2021 record. That's what I do realize, right? I mean, the point differential just wasn't there. They walked into and kind of lucked into a few victories towards the end of the season. And to their credit, they got those. I don't want to take anything from them, but we have to realize that it wasn't as rosy and as accurate as we all believed, including myself. That's why I thought going into this season, this past season, that they were going to be at least a 10-win team and make it to the playoffs. But obviously, that was not the case. They weren't that good. They blew a lot of leads at the end for one reason or the other. They got to figure that out. You know, obviously, it's going to be a question mark what quarterback they bring in, Brady, Rodgers, other, whatever the case is. I really believe it's going to be down to Brady or Rodgers. I mean, that's just my gut feeling. It's going to be one of those two. But you know, once that domino drops, then I guess the other shoes could start to drop as well, and you can start to see how this team is put together. Raider Matt, thank you so much for that call. I do appreciate you. Next up, got a text from Jack Raider in Connecticut. He says, hey, Q, Jack Raider here from Connecticut. I've been a Raider fan since 2002 when I was 8 years old, and my mom got me a Raider hat by accident on Christmas. Needless to say, given that timeline, I've had mostly suffering with this team. I have a car rant in the chamber, but I'll save it for another day. This team needs huge upgrades on defense, so I say we go get Deron Payne and make a move for Jalen Ramsey. If we can land them, I don't see why we can't roll with Stidham for now. Thoughts? Thank you for giving me daily content and giving me material that helps me open my mind and calm my nerves with this team. That's Jack Raider in Connecticut. And I'll tell you what, that'd be a big addition to the defense. Deron Payne in the middle, Jalen Ramsey on the outside, and maybe Nate Hobbs on the other outside. Or maybe you slide him back inside and you feel like you can go draft a guy to be on the outside. I'm not too sure, but that would be big. It would be costly because Deron Payne is going to cost you a lot of money, and Jalen Ramsey has a large contract. And I haven't looked at the contract numbers for Jalen Ramsey, but I do realize he's a guy that could be potentially on the move. But if that's the case, then probably you lose someone offensively, like maybe a Darren Waller or maybe a Hunter Renfrow. Right. And so you have to decide, is that OK? And then, you know, who's your quarterback? I mean, again, like I said in segment number two, you can't live and die by free agency and by trades. You've got to be able to draft and develop. So I would like to see additions like that, Deron Payne and Jalen Ramsey, because I think it would give them a couple guys with edge to them on that defense. And we all know they need edge on that defense. Who knows how it's going to actually shake out once the car situation is done. And the Raiders get more draft, or not draft capital, but they get more money, cap space in free agency. Maybe they're able to do a little bit more. And maybe they do get draft capital if they're able to trade them. I don't know that, so we'll see. But they need to do, I like what you're thinking, the dogs on defense. Payne is a dog, and Ramsey's a dog. Would love to see guys like that, if not those guys, matched up with Max Crosby. I think that'd be phenomenal. So thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. Just got time for a couple more. We'll get a call in from Jordan in Oregon. He's calling to talk about the potential of Aaron Rodgers being the guy that could be the quarterback for the Raiders for the next couple seasons. Here he is, Jordan in Oregon.
Hey, what's going on, Q? Jordan in Oregon. Hey, man, I had to literally stop what I was doing and just chime in on your podcast, Wednesday's podcast here. And just to jump into the Aaron Rodgers situation, I don't think that idea could add any more level of excitement for myself. Like that is exactly what I would love to see the Raiders do, would be to pretty much put all the chips on the table to do whatever it takes to negotiate a contract with Rodgers. Because like you said, there's not many things that you can guarantee as far as chemistry goes with a rookie. But one thing you can guarantee is with Rodgers, he has that connection with our potential Hall of Famer in Devontae. You know, I think it's important for Raider Nation. I've been doing a lot of it myself. It's just to remember how special of a guy Devontae Adams is and how to capitalize on his career and not make it to where we're grooming a rookie quarterback for the last back end of Adams' career. You need somebody now. And I agree with you, Q. This team's set up right now with some pretty good playmakers, and they're set up in a position that the Packers aren't. They don't have the capability to win now with Rodgers. The Raiders do. And so I just feel like the writing is on the wall, man. This trade makes too much sense. Let's also remember where Rodgers is from, Northern Cali area, Cal Bear alumni. You don't think he would like to be closer to this West Coast after freezing his balls off in Green Bay the last decade plus? So there's just too many connections there, man. I'm just ecstatic about that idea. I think it's a wonderful idea. But really, man, the reason I wanted to call in another kind of hindsight 2020 thing, I guess you could put it, is, you know, Q, I've been riding with your podcast for years now, and I think it's time to represent some of the situations in the draft that you have kind of called for the Raiders to do. And I guess you look at it, hindsight, it's always 2020, but you know, Q, you called for Jalen Hurts, and you identified this guy as a dog. You can go back to Raider Nation, listen to this, flash back a few years ago when Jalen was in the draft. He's going to possibly go – people are hating on the guy, man. He's going to go late first or potentially early second. Q, locked on Raiders Q, identified Jalen as the guy he wanted. You know, Q, you also identified Josh Jacobs as the guy you wanted. And I've seen you identify a few others that have been really solid moves. And I just want to make this known because I think it's time for you to speak on this and why you identify those guys as dogs, because clearly you got a knack for it. And if the radio gig doesn't pan out, you need to get in the front office, man. All right. Peace out, brother.
Thank you for the call, my man. I appreciate you. And, you know, I feel like it makes a lot of sense. I would hate that the Raiders have to give up draft capital. That's the problem right there. I mean, again, I've said it. Brady or Rodgers is who I feel like is going to end up being the quarterback for the Raiders in 2023. Brady is easier just because all you have to do is sign him. Rodgers, you have to trade, and he's got a large contract. So that's my big hangup. But I do feel like it's going to be one of those two dudes. And, you know, Rodgers is being younger. Obviously, he could do a little bit more. He's got a little bit more wiggle, and he's got an automatic connection with Devontae Adams. So there would never be a time where Devontae Adams hits halftime and only has one catch or two targets, right? That's not going to happen. Aaron Rodgers would load him up. Other guys may struggle a little bit to get some attention, but Aaron Rodgers would be looking for 17 all the time. As far as the draft goes, I mean, I hit on Jalen Hurts. I hit on Josh Jacobs. I hit on Tariq Woolen. Remember the corner out of UTSA? I was pounding the table last draft period for the Raiders to go get him. The Seattle Seahawks ended up getting him in the fifth round, and he's phenomenal. He's fantastic, right? He's a guy that's up for Defensive Rookie of the Year, him and Sauce Gardner, one on the AFC side and one on the NFC side. So you can see that being a potential of happening right there. So who knows? Who knows about the draft, because I've missed on a lot more. But all those guys, like, Jalen Hurts, he was doubted. He had a little chip on his shoulder. He had a little edge to him. That's why I really liked him. And he was really mature for who he was and the way he was, you know, sat down at Alabama, and he didn't pout and take his ball and run home. He sat there and backed up Tua. And then when he all of a sudden had to get sprung into action, he went out there and won the game. Then he went to Oklahoma, and he had a hell of a year, hell of a run there. Ended up in New York as a Heisman Trophy finalist. Didn't win it, but he was right there. Showed you that he can do other parts of the game besides just run the ball. And since he's been in the league, all he's done is got better. Tariq Woolen, a guy that everyone said was super athletic, but they didn't know if he's going to be a good corner, went in the fifth round to Seattle, and he balled out, absolutely balled out this year. So, I mean, I got a few right. I got a bunch wrong. Thank you for that. I do appreciate you, and I got time for maybe one more. Let's go ahead and take this text from Drunken Demon. He says, you mentioned PSL ticket holders will just sell their tickets if no wins or star power. In theory, problem is a massive amount of those season ticket holders bought them specifically for the purpose of reselling them each year to the highest bidders. When I went to the Garth Brooks concert two summers ago, we talked to plenty of people who said they were season ticket holders, and not a single one was a Raider fan. They just saw a chance to make money off people coming to Vegas for the weekend. I'm not exaggerating when I say a lot of them. One couple invested in six seats and said their own family members who were Raider fans aren't even going to get tickets from them since the seats are worth too much at resale. That's from Drunken Demon, and that is a reality. You're not wrong about that. That is an absolute reality. A lot of the PSLs were bought up immediately. A lot of the tickets were bought up. I mean, they were sold out quick, fast, in a hurry, and a lot of them, like you said, are trying to flip a profit. And so that is going to be, you know, a problem moving forward as far as Allegiant Stadium goes. But, you know, if they don't win and they don't have some star power, then even the ones that are Raider fans are going to be selling their tickets like they did the last two games of the season. That is a massive problem. That was just ugly to see all those Niner fans and all those Chiefs fans the last two games, and all that red popping inside that black stadium. I mean, that was all bad, but you're not wrong. I know folks myself that have tickets that, you know, aren't season ticket holder, or not, they're not Raider fans, and they're just trying to sell them to turn a profit. And so there's no doubt that's a problem. And unfortunately, the only thing that matters in the NFL, I'm not saying the only thing that matters to Mark Davis, because I know that he didn't like seeing all that red, but the only thing that matters is the almighty dollar. And as long as those folks are paying their money, that's all that's going to matter. And so the Raiders have to do their part by winning games, having some stars to go see. I've seen too many things in the short time I've been here in Vegas that if they're not winning, they don't have anybody to go see some main attraction, folks won't go there. There's just too many things to do. But thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. That's all I got time for on today's show. So Raider Nation, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll close out the week really strong. We'll have more calls and texts throughout that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. We'll have more news and notes of the day. And, of course, we'll have plenty of conversation as we wrap up the week and get closer to, well, the Shrine Bowl is going to be here at Allegiant Stadium. Excited about that. And we're just a couple weeks out from being in Arizona for a Radio Row leading up to the Super Bowl. That's always something to get excited about as well. So we got plenty coming to you this offseason here on the Locked On Raider podcast. Very excited about it. Thanks so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider podcast free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube. Thanks to my man Ari, and we do appreciate that. So Ari, thank you so much for that at Ari Produces on Twitter. So until tomorrow, Raider Nation, take care of yourself, take care of your family, love on your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.